Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Gonna be a lot of dead air at the start of this episode because Mason's goofing around with the cat again.
No, I'm not. She came down and she wanted petting, so I did. Okay.
Mason throws a ball for the cat.
Because she wanted to play with it.
Okay.
Now you can edit all that out.
Sure.
Leave a 5-second gap.
Sure.
Alright, this is the MGB review of UEW. I don't remember what the event was called.
Resurrection. Which is an appropriate name, as they haven't had an event in over 500 days.
On July 23rd, I think.
July 23rd. Doors opened at 6 p.m. And first match was at 7 p.m. It was at the same place that the second event was at, which was actually the last live event. I can't remember. It was on Renko Road, I think it's called. It's Renko Road? Something like that. Originally, when I looked, it said Henrico, and I was like, oh, it's a different venue. And then when I typed it in, Henrico is just a part of Richmond, and then it was exactly the same place as it was before. Normally, for these ones, we talk about what we did on the actual day itself first. So we made a day of it, mainly because this was the one I was worried about. Like, Friday night, Route 95 South, it's brutal. Like, it takes hours to get to Fredericksburg. And I was like, I don't know how we're going to do this. So I thought, okay, we'll do it. I didn't tell you guys what we were doing. So you want to mention a couple of things we did?
We went to Space Jam, the new Legacy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was one. I'm not normally that bothered about going to the cinema, but I particularly wanted to see this one. And I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I thought it was awesome. It was funny. I had tears rolling down my face. My eyes were so sore at one point, I had to close my eyes because I had some... I think my favorite part... it's not really a spoiler. I guess it is. I guess we're not doing spoilers. This has only been out for a week. There is some comedic thing. I guess the other one that we can talk about right at the start, because it doesn't really ruin the plot at all, is when they're on the basketball court at the start and he has an automatic ball releaser. You shout ball, it throws the ball, and he can do a dribble and shoot. And his younger brother shouts out, "What are we having for lunch?" Or, "What are we having for dinner?" He's like, "Oh, I hope it's spaghetti and meatballs." And it hears the word ball, it fires one, and it hits him right in the side of the head. And that, I thought that was there was a lot of things like that that just made me just made me laugh. Yeah, the people who gave that 4 on IMDb, absolute idiots. It was way better than that. I don't know what they were expecting, but I thought it was better than the original Space Jam, which I didn't expect. We went back to the place where...
Death's playing with the cat.
I'm stroking the cat while I'm talking. We went to the place where we played disc golf originally in Richmond about 18 months ago, and we found that course really difficult. I think I improved by 16 shots. I shot level par, and I think I was 16 over last time. We didn't keep total tracker score. Jackson, I know, took 137 shots last time. That's how difficult it was, and he would have been way under 100.
That's still his record today.
No, it's not. He would have been way under 100. His drives were really good. We had, I mean, say, the course we play on, par threes are typically about 240, something like that. There was one that was 503 par three. It was slightly downhill. And yeah, I managed to get my par on some of those. We threw over the water this time, which we kind of chickened out on a little bit last time as well. But yeah, we did that. We planned on going to Wendy's. Wendy's closed. We got there at 5:01, I think it was. And I'm pulling at the door and it's not opening. And you were like, yeah, it says closed at 5. I'm like, I have no idea what... Thankfully, there was a McDonald's down the road that didn't do that. Otherwise, I guess we would have got food at the venue. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we managed to get some food. And the whole day, we timed absolutely perfectly. We strolled up to the door about 6:05, I think it was. We tried to park in that parking lot. There's never any space there, so we had to double back out. And by the time we'd walked up to the venue, all the people who were waiting were kind of inside already. So, yeah, we got in pretty quick.
And yet again, I don't think they messed up, but they gave us free McDonald's again.
They gave you a double stack, which I don't know why they gave you a double stack on a hamburger, but hey, no worries.
And we got
medium drinks as well, because it said it was supposed to be small drinks. So, yeah, we did all right. Space Jam toys from the Happy Meal. That linked in with the day pretty good. It was a Woody. He's not a...
Not a Woody. Not, I mean, a Roadrunner.
Road
runner.
Yeah,
same thing.
Road. Bird. Yeah. Roadrunner dribbling the ball.
Cartoon bird.
Uh-huh. And yeah, we went in. Jackson wanted to sit front row. I said, hey, you're not going to get front row. Look how many people went in ahead of us. And we didn't. We didn't get front row. But we got the... I'm happy with the bleachers anyway.
Back row. Like very,
technically, I guess we were the back row, but we were the top row of the bleachers. So you're elevated a little bit. So you don't have to... I don't want to say you would strain your neck, but you can look level to the ring. So I was happy with that last time, and I was happy with that this time as well. We got there in there probably about 50 minutes before. I definitely wanted to get some autographs for this one and some meet and greets. And Rhett Titus was making his debut from Ring of Honor. And luckily, he was set up right next to the door. So we got straight over there. The thing that I was most impressed about this event was the generous prices that the stars were charging. Like, I normally, when it's a big star like Rhett Titus, I will ask ahead of time, how much do you charge for whatever it is? And I didn't, actually. I just went straight inside and said, hey, look, we'd like an autograph, 8x10, a picture. And he did all that. And I said, how much was it? And he said, $10. And I was like, I was genuinely surprised. Because I know the Ring of Honor meet and greets were like 30 when we went to the one in Baltimore. And I'm not even sure if that was autograph and photograph or if it was just one. I genuinely don't remember, but $10 for a photograph and an autograph from a ring, that's a great deal. I was really happy with that. Really nice guy. I totally missed his mask. I was looking at the pictures.
Talking to him with your eyes closed.
Yeah, I was talking to him with my eyes closed. Yeah, I told him that we wanted to go and see that last Ring of Honor event, but it was on the same day as the Euro finals. And England kept winning, so I had to keep waiting to see.
And then they lost.
And then they made the final on that day, so. And yeah, they lost in the final. Yes, they did.
And penalties.
And penalties as well, yeah, makes it even worse. Yeah,
by one.
Keep rubbing it in. Have to score in their first two goals as well, yeah. And having saved two penalties and they still. So yeah, we missed that one. And then I thought he said he was going to be appearing. Because he kind of asked us, like, we talked about Oaks. That event was in Baltimore, so he obviously realized we were kind of north, so he asked, like, do you go to Philadelphia? And we mentioned, yeah, we went to MLW. And I thought he was talking about an independent event, because he said he was facing Jonathan Gresham, and mm-hmm. I totally missed he said Ring of Honor. But yeah, in 4 weeks' time, he's facing Jonathan Gresham for the Ring of Honor title in Philadelphia. In that, what's it called? Pure Wrestling, I think it's called?
Mm-hmm. And so, it's the day before we go to school, so we can go.
Yeah, that won't be happening. We definitely won't be going to that one. But yeah, really nice guy. We got some great pictures out of it, and I was happy with that. And then I don't think we did much after that. I think we just kind of sat at the back, I guess, posted a few pictures, and yeah. So shall we go straight? Oh, before we go straight into match one, I do want to talk about a couple of things. I wasn't quite sure where we should talk about this. Having the two live events, they then had two only online events. They had UEW Heatwave and they had UEW Gold Rush. And I'm not sure if the people who were watching the wrestling, did they go to the live events and then miss those two online events and then just go to the next one? Because it was kind of different. Some of the reactions of the crowd I thought were a little strange. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I do. So as I've talked for a long time, go ahead then. Say
like,
what I'm thinking.
Chris Keith got a cheer.
Okay, so why would... Well, he's the owner, but why would that seem strange to you?
Because he's a heel?
Yeah, those last two events, he's been very clearly a heel. Like, he's taken out different people. He's been bullying other wrestlers, etc., etc. But yeah, when he came out... So I was wondering for that. Does that mean then that certain people in the crowd had not seen those last two events?
The majority.
I did wonder for some of that. And also later on, and I'm going to talk about it then, Sledge Gibson. Like, but at the last main event, he got robbed of a title when he got took out by Damian Wayne. I think it was Max Morrison and was it Rock Richards? I'm trying to remember. There was three people.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was. There was about three people. But those last two events clearly turned heel. Now he's the champion. And when Sledge came out, same thing. He got massive cheers. And we're like, why? He's been the heel right now. So yeah, it was kind of interesting what was going on with some of those. That I don't think some of the people had been following those ones. I do have one thing about Damian Wayne. If you remember, the question was, why isn't Damian Wayne defending at that first online event? And he wasn't available. Now, I did see on, I think it was Facebook this morning, Damian Wayne made some comment about the one of the about not being the obviously the champion anymore. It sounds like he keeps getting booked on the days when UEW is wrestling. So that sounds like the event. He said, hey, it's not my fault I'm so popular. So that's the story with Damian Wayne. Because I did wonder that, like, I was like, because he wasn't at this event again. I was like, is he coming back? So it's possible we might see him in the future. He is clearly undefeated at UEW. He never lost his championship, but he was unable to defend it. And of course, in wrestling,
well, he's not a fighting champion.
Not a fighting champion, no. So he didn't get
to see him. He's a Brock Lesnar.
He's a. It's certainly. All right, shall we go into match one then?
Yes. It's been 520 days since the last UEW show.
Mm-hmm.
The first match is Chris Keith versus Mac Buckler Chris Keith and Mac Buckler versus Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And
for fun.
Yeah.
So not for like the UEW tag team titles. It's not for the crab tag team titles and then combine them into one title.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, okay, all right.
A double DDT by Mac Buckler. He hit Jason with what looked like a nail.
Mm-hmm.
Mac dives off of the top rope and misses Jason and takes out Chris Keith. Mac and Chris don't let the count get to three. Twice they lift up Jason's shoulder.
Yeah, they were looking to put in a little bit more punishment. And this is why it was kind of strange. Like, that's clearly a heel move. Like, if you can get the pin, you just go for the pin. But twice, they were like, nope, this is a handicap. See, that's the other unusual thing. This is a handicap match as well for the titles as well. It's just 2-on-1. So he has no one, Jason has no one
because
to tag
Muddy
into.
Because Muddy Green's not a fighting champion.
Well, that was my question. I don't know if that was ever addressed. Like, why was it just Jason by himself? Like, I can't remember if that was from the previous event and I just missed it. But it did seem kind of strange. Now, I did actually look that up. I know you haven't talked about the finish yet at all. I did look to see when, like, is Muddy Green injured right now? Like, is he retired? Or, like, I don't know. I have no idea at all. The last event I could find for him was last month. It was AON Wrestling. It was at the Johnstown Galleria. And, there's pictures of Muddy Green and Sin next to each other. So, he obviously is still wrestling, but he might have had something on the same day as well. He might have been unavailable. I don't know. He could be on holiday right now. Who knows?
If you were tag team partners, you would share your bookings.
Possibly, but if you want to go on holiday at some point as well, or if he is injured. So, we don't quite know what happened with Muddy Green at all. But, yeah, he certainly had to defend by himself.
Mm-hmm. And Chris Keith gets the win, but I was writing notes, so I didn't get this one.
I think in the end they just took the pin. Like, Jason came back a couple of times, but in the end it was just too much. I'm sure there was some cheating going on in for this one. But yeah, cheering for the heels did seem very strange at the start. The other thing that's coming up on this as well, I actually saw they're actually going next week, Mason. NCW, remember National Championship Wrestling that we didn't quite manage to get to? We did, but then we couldn't go in because Jackson was sick. There's a Night of Superstars event, Abraham Khan and Zakhar Shah versus The Awaken versus Grapital Vice, not Capital Vices, Grapital Vice. Versus Alpha Inc. So, first of all, I'm going to ask you, who do you think Alpha Inc. is? Because that's obviously part of UEW, right? Okay.
Leo Kirby.
Oh, you called it. You called it. That's exactly who's tagging up together. There was a few other people it could have been.
Yeah.
All right, so who do you think Grapital Vice is going to be then? So it is Jason, I will tell you that. But obviously it's not Muddy Green.
I don't know.
Wes?
Oh, what?
So that's kind of an interesting one.
But he's part of Alpha Inc.
I know. Now, it might be with that event being 6 hours away, perhaps they don't know that connection. But when I hear Alpha Inc. and when I'm thinking about, hey, you just took down Jason in this match here and cost him his championship, and now you're pairing him with another member from Alpha Inc. Obviously, in different organizations, you can have different wrestlers together. Perhaps being 6 hours apart, most people will have no idea that that's actually a rivalry. But yeah, that's kind of a... Obviously, they all work together.
Is he Wesley or Wes?
That I don't know. I don't know if I wrote it down for this. I just wrote Wes and Sin. We'll talk about that later, but yeah, Wes is now going by Wesley because he's not part of I forgot what they're called. Safety First. Yeah, he's just part of Alpha Inc. now for this one. Anything else for this first match?
No.
Bo Show Bo Crockett here. You are listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast. But whenever the Bo Show's on or you're talking about the Bo Show's match, keep one thing in mind, and it's my show.
All right, match two.
It was Bo Crockett versus John Washington. And before the match started, John Washington calls Bo Crockpot.
He'd been doing that in the promos as well. That was one of the things I really liked for this. On Facebook, like, you'd constantly see from UEW, they'd put out little promos. Like, John Washington had already called him Crockpot. I think he went to look for him in his gym as well. They built up the stories pretty good, actually. So I guess if you had missed, like, a couple of those events, you can try and catch up with what happened through this. So this is just a regular old match, then? Just for the fun of it? Anything special at stake here? He's looking frantically through his notes for the benefit of the tape because he didn't write it down. This is to find out who is the hardest working wrestler on the business.
Okay.
Because Bo, I know Bo...
I was joking the last time. I knew exactly what it was for, okay. But I didn't
Bo
know...
Bo prides himself on this. As far as I know, this is Bo's first match in nearly... Well, I guess it's certainly a year and a half, mm-hmm. for sure. I'm trying to remember if he was injured before COVID as well. I think I saw it was his first match in 2 years. So, we're obviously rooting for Bo for this one. We had our interview with Bo Crockett last year as well. We know John Washington. We've seen him plenty of times. Bo was clearly face for this, like he was at the last event, and John was clearly heel for this one. And we've talked about these people before, Mason, so go ahead.
A full-out brawl at the very start, but they were broken up because of the ref. He wanted open hands.
See, I thought that was unusual, because I don't think they did that in the first match, did they?
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, that used to be the rule. Like, in British wrestling, it's supposed to be open fists. Like, you never used to be able to do punches. Like, on WWE, you can do punches now, or it seems like you can. But yeah, sometimes you'll get that referee that wants the open hand.
It's because that ref got paid extra by Chris Keith.
Inside job again.
Yeah.
That was how the last... I'd forgotten about that. That was how the last event had finished, right? Because the ref was like... It was like a fast count or something. Or he brought his own ref in. Or the ref gave a low blow. Or there was something untoward. I do remember that now.
Can't find where I am in my notes. But John was choking Bo. And Bo barely gets his feet on the ropes after a huge elbow. And elbow off the top rope by Bo. Wait, what? John barely gets his foot on the ropes after a elbow off the top rope by Bo.
The reason we do an audio podcast is it would be embarrassing how many times I roll my eyes while we're doing this if we had a video podcast.
Bo accidentally punches the ref, and John gave Bo a chair and then fell on the ground, but the ref looked a little too quick. But then he still went with it. And then he took the chair back, and then John gave Bo a low blow.
Yeah, so there was a lot of cheating going on for this one, but he got the win. I did forget to say, we actually made a couple of signs for this one as well. The old Nova Pro thing, they had the Bo Leave, the L-E-A-V-E. So we had the proper one, the Make It Look Like Believe, B-E-A-U, L-I-E-V-E. So we were definitely rooting for Bo for this one. I was particularly unhappy, having just had the heels win, that the heels would win for a second match in a row, but hey, it's the way it goes, I guess. All right, match three.
You are watching or listening to Ethan Cross, 41, as Zach says, and also MGB Podcast.
Match three is Ethan Cross versus Demented Brad.
Well, first of all, it was an open challenge. I think they knew who it was. I'm trying to think what his manager's called. I can't remember. The guy with the briefcase. Something the fourth, I think it is. But he said he didn't want to let Ethan know ahead of time, which I didn't quite understand why that was true. But yeah, they said it was... they said basically anyone who thinks they can beat Ethan, come on out. And Brad came out. He didn't have Captain Crunch with him, which I was a little bit disappointed with. I know when we've seen him before, he's
had that.
Yeah,
that's not his thing. That's Joe's thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Perhaps I got it wrong then. I thought it was Brad's thing.
No, that's Joe.
Oh, so that was Joe King's thing?
Yes.
All right, fair enough. All right, go ahead.
Ethan's manager said that Brad pulled Ethan's hair, which would have been normal, except for Ethan's bald.
I was going to say, Ethan doesn't have any hair, so, or if he does, it's very, very short.
Yeah, it was physically impossible to pull his hair.
Yeah.
And it's not like he has a mustache or beard, either.
We did get, of course, the famous squeals from Brad, which I really like. They're, like, so high-pitched. It's like, I can't really do a good one. But we definitely got those moves when he gets excited. Mm-hmm. He had his mask on like he normally has as well. I'm wondering if we've actually seen these two wrestle before. I don't think they wrestled at the Orange County one, but I have a feeling we might have seen these wrestle before. Possibly, I think it's UCW, but I wasn't sure.
Demented Brad bounced into rammed Ethan, and Ethan bounced into the ropes and had a hard fall. And Ethan distracts the ref, and Ethan's manager chokes Brad by pulling Brad's mask down on the ropes. And then another distraction by Ethan, and then Ethan's manager hits Brad with a briefcase for the win.
Yeah, and as it was on the side, I was calling, because he didn't do anything really the first few minutes, and I was like, you know, at some point he's going to get involved. And I was getting more and more angry, because I was like, we already had two heel wins. We're going to get a third heel win. And yeah, I was getting really fired up about it. But yeah, Ethan took the win. Ethan, I thought, looked in really good condition. Like, when we first talked about it, we were like, the fact that he's, I think, in his late 40s, and he looked in great shape. We haven't seen him wrestle in 18 months. I thought he looked in even better shape than when we last saw him as well. Some of the moves that Brad put on him just looked plain painful. And I think we've talked about that before. When you watch an Ethan Cross match, it's like, ow! The one where he got slammed into the ropes and how he did that, then the one where he flipped on his back, yeah, it looked painful. Ethan did a great job in this match. Yeah, I was happy to see Demented Brad. I wasn't sure who the person was who was going to come out. It was nice that was the thing I really liked about this event. The people that came out, a lot of people were people who we hadn't seen in a long time, and it felt good to see familiar faces in the ring again. People who you've just not seen for a while. Now, I had other people's names written down. I don't have them for match 4, so I'm hoping that you did get them down, Mason.
Match 4 was Gabriel Kai versus George, and I couldn't really hear his last name.
I couldn't hear him. He had that mask on that was really impressive. It was like silver, and like he had spikes on it.
Yeah, and what the announcer said was Cactus Black.
They did. I'd forgotten Blackjack Jack was going to be there. I remember when they announced when they were coming back, they kept doing like little teasers like, we have this person, we have this person. Blackjack Jack we saw on the first ever.
And you didn't see the big, massive Blackjack Jack like banner right next to Rhett Titus?
I didn't, because I was looking at Rhett Titus. I was more interested in, well, nobody
see?
Was there.
He wasn't talking.
Out at that time. If he'd been
I know,
out
but
at
there was
the
a big, massive banner that had Blackjack Jack all over it in his face. And yet, and this is exactly proof that Ned was talking to Rhett with his eyes closed.
It would have been rude to focus at the banner when you're talking to somebody. Yeah, the Blackjack Jack came out last. I think Gabriel Kai came out first, if I
no,
remember.
Gabriel was first.
That's what I just said.
Oh, yes.
Gabriel Kahn came out first. No, it wasn't. It was first. Blackjack Jack came out last. I love Blackjack Jack's entrance. Like, I've only seen him now a couple of times, and I'm not sure if that's his familiar entrance. But yeah, it was long. He came out purposely slow. The crowd loved interacting with him. I don't know what his music is, but I love it. I love the whole effect of it. And considering this was his debut for UEW, he was over with the crowd before he even got in the ring. Mm-hmm. I was super excited. I was taking pictures. He climbs onto the end. He had like a wedding train. Like, he had clothes that kind of dropped down to the floor and kind of carried back. And then he got into his familiar kind of, what's that called? Is it tweed? Whatever that shirt, the checkered shirt. And it's like a mix of three checkered shirts, as far as I can tell you. I can't remember the colors because I'm terrible with that. Red is definitely one of them. It might be blue and black. I'm not sure. So, yeah, they got into the ring for this one. Mason, I didn't take notes for any of these ones because I was going to... Normally, I'll research the people, but we know most of these people already. I know we already talked about Blackjack Jack before, so I left it at this for this one. Go ahead.
You said talk about how hard the wrestlers like do fist bumps and high fives. Mm-hmm. Blackjack Jack gave the softest fist bumps I've ever seen.
It was gentle, but that's kind of because he's like a chilled character. So it was kind of like, if you're walking in super slow, like think of Orange Cassidy when he comes in super slow, right?
Yeah.
Does he give massive high fives?
No,
it's the same thing. If you're running in fast, like a John Cena or an Ultimate Warrior or something, then yeah, you're gonna
John
get...
Cena doesn't give
or Warhorse, like when he runs around and he's fired up, yeah, you're getting a hard high five. But no, I thought that fitted in perfectly. But yeah, I think also there were some very young kids on that front row as well, so you don't want to be too big and scary around them, particularly when you're being the face. So I kind of like that he had a big smile on his face. He kind of put his hands there, and then the younger kids, it was like, oh, look, this guy's not scary at all. You can give him a high five. This guy's the cool guy. So I actually liked that even more. I thought that fitted in perfectly with it.
A chair shot by Gabriel. Black just jumps off of the barricade, but misses George. George hits Gabriel with a water bottle, and there's multiple chair shots by Black just Jack. Gabriel misses the dive off of the top rope. George hits Gabriel with a chain, and Gabriel and George team up on Black Dust Jack, but Gabriel wins, but I didn't get the finish, because that was the moment as soon as you gave me my water, so I was drinking my water, because so I was very thirsty.
So you're 2 for 4 at this point. Yeah, George was outside the ring for a long time, and he made it very clear, look, I'm wrapping the chain around my hand, and then he just waited until it was a convenient point. But yeah, he didn't manage to steal the win. This was the match, actually, where Jackson started to get a little fidgety. The last time we were at this event, he loved the area at the back, because he could just run around. It was like, I think when the kids get tired for wrestling, they can just blow off some steam and just run around at the back. And that was the point he decided he wanted to run around. But then his face was so red, because it was kind of hot when we first got there. They had two massive fans at the back. One of the doors was open, but it still was kind of hot in there. So I was like, sure, let me go over, get some waters, come back, and then, sorry, I cost the finish for this one. Well, we know who got the win. Gabriel Kai was definitely the winner, but I can't remember exactly what the finish was for this one.
Yeah, Dad's playing with the cat either. Again.
She was scratching. She's got giving herself a little bald spot, so I was trying to stop her from scratching that sensitive part again. I feel like I'm being called out. I think you're getting your own back on me on this one. Yeah, and then this must have been the last match before the intermission. Oh, one other thing. I know I talked to Blackest Jack at the intermission. He's facing Calvin Tankman at the next first ever one as well. That would be awesome. But that's also on that same Sunday, I think, when Red Tides is. But it was in North Carolina. I looked it up, and I was like, there's no way. Because I was thinking, oh, we're on holiday. We could possibly go to this one finally. And then it was like, nope, it's the last day before school starts. And I can't drive back from North Carolina at night and then get to school first thing in the morning. So
I was calling you, Alice, because whenever I listen to something and then it goes quieter, I always think that my phone, like something hit like the volume button, and then I turn it all the way up, and then it's so loud when it goes back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want them to turn all the sound all the way up and go deaf.
And
I need it because I don't want to look bad because I can't read my notes, because when I'm in an event I have to write so fast. Uh-huh. And it doesn't always come out the best.
You need to get you a dictaphone or something.
What's that?
Well, just like voice memos, you just speak into your phone. All right, Bo just hit him, John Washington, in the face.
No.
George wrapped the iron around his... You don't want to do that with people around you?
Nope.
All right. Because it could not... No. All right.
If it goes silent.
You could just write keywords down. You try and write sentences right now.
I can't do that.
Or you could use abbreviations.
So, what I want to say, chair shot by Gabriel, I write CSBG.
Sure.
I am never going to remember that.
So, all right. So when I take notes, and I didn't for this one, like if I'm writing kick out at 2, I don't write that down. It's KOAT.
What?
I always write that down.
I can't
that
do
was
that.
A podcast I used to listen to as well, the kick out at 2 podcast. So they always used to go. So I always think of that one there. Chair shot, CS, that makes perfect sense. So at the end of match 4, Jackson's drinking his water, and at that point they said it's the intermission, so I thought I better ask him, does he need to go to the bathroom? And of course he was like, yes, by which time there's a massive line already and there's only 2 bathrooms. So I did want to talk to Blackest Jack. I wanted to talk to Bo as well, and we got in line, and I think you just went back to your chair because you're like, this is gonna be too long. And we waited in line, and they were like, you have 5 minutes to go. And we
I thought Jackson was
people.
Dropping a deuce. He was taking so long.
What, outside the bathroom? That would be a little bit inappropriate.
But no, I mean when he was, because I was
he
already...
He was inside 30 there. Seconds.
I know, but I didn't know the line was that long, because I never went over there in the first place. Oh. And I just saw a bunch of people. I didn't think that many people were going to the bathroom.
So anyway, while we were waiting, you did say earlier you'd seen Jordan Blade in the crowd.
Yes,
and while we were over there, I saw Jordan Blade. I saw Sledge come over with his championship, because we said, oh, look, it looks really nice. So he let Jackson touch the belt. And I do like UEW in the fact that it's very interactive at those intermissions. Like, there's wrestlers walking around. Like, we've seen before, like, we've had pictures with, like, Kevin Mears, Rock Richards, people like that. They're just walking around. With Sledge before. I've seen Leo walking around before.
Danger was handing out streamers.
For his match. Yeah. That's for later. That'll
and then the
up.
Demented Brad was also walking around with the kids, too.
Yeah,
he
no,
was,
it's awesome.
He was giving them a few of them fist bumps,
Yeah,
too.
It's really family-friendly. Like, you get to interact with the wrestlers, you can get a picture with them, you get to talk to them. It's awesome. I really like that. So while we were waiting, we didn't really get to do much. And then finally, when he was at the front, he went in, came out. We only had, like, I'm guessing 3 minutes from what he said on the five. I quickly went to talk to Bo because I wanted to get his new shirt. Unfortunately, he didn't have. He only had one of each size, and it wasn't my size. So I am going to buy it from the next time. Pro Wrestling Tees has a discount thing. Normally around Labor Day or Memorial Day or something, they have like 20% off. So I'm going to wait until that because their shipping is ridiculous otherwise. Blacktus Jack was out, so I got to talk to him. And same thing, like, I asked the people who were, because he was kind of, people kind of running his stand. So I asked them, I was like, how much is it for like an 8x10 and a picture with him? I think it was five. I was like, my goodness, that's really good. That's why I think it's so family friendly. When you can get a souvenir like that for $5, and you can't do that at all shows. Like, we did not go to Maryland Championship Wrestling yesterday. That was the other option for this weekend. They had people like, I don't think you know Griff Garrison right now, and Brian Pillman Jr. They're like a tag team on AEW. Like, they were doing a meet and greet. Now, I don't know how much they were charging, but I know from previous ones where we've been up there, that could easily be $50. And that's a lot. That's a lot for one. Or when we've been down to VCW, and we're probably going to go down there next week. Like, when it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan, I think that was $50, or it might have been $60. And I was like, yeah, I'm not paying that at all. So, yeah, we managed to get the two that I wanted the most, and it was $10 and $5. So that was really cool that we got to do that. And, yeah, that was pretty much it. They told us it was time. And, the only other piece of information I did miss out is we got T-shirts for this event as well. We actually bought T-shirts for what was supposed to be the third event that never happened. And I just told Chris, hold on to them. I was like, well, we'll get them. We'll get them at some point, but we'll just wait. So we got those after 500 days. I'm wearing mine now. I
was wearing mine yesterday.
Yeah, I like it. I think it looks really nice. That's one of the other things. Sometimes the t-shirts, they're not always the nicest feel to them. This feels really nice. Certain t-shirts feel a lot more comfortable than others. I don't know what it is about this one, but this one feels really nice. It fits really nice. So when we go to future events, we'll definitely be able to support the UEW brand, which I'm going to say, I'm always happy to do that. And it actually worked kind of nice. We were at the Army Museum today, but like the stars there kind of fit in with like the Army thing as well. So yeah.
And you were ready for Britain in the Revolutionary War.
Unfortunately, spoiler alert, I already knew the result for that one, so I knew that wasn't looking good.
I think it was a revolutionary.
It was, yeah. It was. But yeah, so after we talked to Blacktus Jack, it was pretty much, let's go back to our seats, because we kind of ran out of time. And yeah, then they started straight away. So we already knew what the matches were going to be, we just didn't know which order they were going to be. We obviously knew that the title Sledge was going to be the main event, but we weren't sure besides that. So after that then, didn't you also say, because actually I called you over once we got to Blacktus Jack, so I said, hey, let's get you in a picture as well. Didn't you say you'd seen Erica Lee as well?
I think so.
Somebody said that.
Not 100%.
Perhaps it was Jackson that said
I
that.
I said
then.
That, but I'm not sure it's 100% her.
Okay. And it would make sense.
I'm
she
like
was
75%
She was at the last live event that was there, so that was certainly possible. And I know we did wonder about, like, is the women's going to have a match? And they've actually released the poster for the next event, and Jordan Blade and Erica Lee are both featured. So, yeah. So they were. It was nice that they were there as well, supporting UEW. And we'll get to see those at the next event. Now, I'm not sure. I wrote a couple of things down that I saw on social media that got me interested. I'm not sure, Mason, if this is the wrong match, just let me continue and you can tell me afterwards which one it was. The ring announcer came in, and before he introduced the fans for the next match, he mentioned the fact that there was an empty seat by the side of the ring, and there was somebody who was a big UEW fan who had unfortunately passed away since the last event. They did the 10 count, the traditional 10 count. I didn't write down the name at the time because I wasn't really doing that. I wasn't sure if you were either. Jim on Facebook said, quote, amidst all of the day-to-day hustle of putting together this outstanding and very well-coordinated event, he made the time to pause and to honor a great wrestling fan and personal friend, Chuck Hudgens, with a 10-bell salute with his family in attendance. What a great and fun night at the inaugural 2021 UEW show. An awesome night of action-packed wrestling and good time entertainment. To all of the superstars, thank you for being great with our kids and giving us a night to remember. To Chris, yes, you are a superstar. Thank you for being you and bringing our community an unbelievable promotion and writing a chapter in our kids' lives they will never forget while keeping me a big kid. And that last sentence kind of definitely resonated with me as well. Like, the adults there, it's for the kids, really, but for the adults as well, you can still have a lot of fun at the wrestling events. And they definitely did that with all the things that we talked about in the intermission as well. All right, I think that was before match five, but I'm not 100% sure. But match five was Eddie Diamond versus Timmy Danger. Don't think this one's just for fun, is it, Mason?
What? I don't...
Mason
is
playing
title?
With a ball and has no idea what's going on.
No.
He's not looking in his notes.
I know exactly
know
what we're doing, but I didn't know...
Last man standing match, perhaps?
Oh, that's not what... I knew it was a last man standing match. You said, what is it for? Like, I thought you were talking about a title. I didn't know... I thought you were talking about a title. And before this match, we were strongly encouraged to root for Eddie Diamond by Timmy Danger's sister.
See, I put that in the notes originally. Was it Timmy's sister or was it Eddie's sister?
It was Timmy's.
So she told us to root against him. Because
yeah,
she asked us who it was. Jackson was not. Jackson was a big Timmy Danger fan. When they asked me, I was like, I kind of shook my head. I was like, I don't mind. We've seen both of these two. All I was cared about was it a good match? That was literally all I cared about for this one. I wasn't rooting for one person over the other. I like the work Timmy Danger does as part of the Sanctuary. Eddie Diamond's put on some great matches at UEW. And with Last Man Standing, I was like, great. You know that there's no rules for this one. You know that there's going to be something a little outside of the ordinary. And you know they're going to put on a good match to get the crowd fired up again after the intermission. So yeah, I didn't really mind for this one.
And they're actually roommates in real life.
That's is that what his sister said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's why the whole Timmy's family were rooting for Eddie. Timmy was sitting on a chair on the outside, and Eddie does a somersault on him, and this is where my notes are, and this is where I'm gonna start going bad because I didn't get enough time to reread them before the record.
To reread them, you had plenty of time. I told you.
No, I got about 2 minutes. Eddie brings in a table, and Eddie gets pushed onto the table by
this
Neil Sharkey.
48 hours after the events finish, nearly. I think that's plenty of time. I would have thought.
By Neil Sharkey, and Timmy grabs Eddie's chain and punches him with it. Eddie is hung upside down, and Timmy has a quick little chat with him and ends it with hitting Eddie with a chair to the midsection. Timmy was thrown into a pyramid of chairs, and
he set up himself.
Yes, he set up himself.
Eddie reversed it,
and Eddie speared Timmy through a table for a tie. Mm-hmm. And Timmy gets to keep the title.
Yep.
Actually, yeah, I don't remember
is it
which
Commonwealth
title.
Commonwealth title or Cruiserweight title? It was something that began with C. I can't remember which one it is. That's really bad.
And after all my notes, this is Ask GB about Neil Sharkey.
Oh. Now, why did I want you to do that? There was something that I saw that was really interesting. And I was like, well, I'm not going to remember. So I was like, let me get Mason to write it down.
See?
And I can't remember what it is
now.
That wasn't enough. That wasn't
good. It's been 48 hours, as you said.
I couldn't read your notes then. I wasn't good enough. And I started actually taking notes on my iPod afterwards. My phone was running low, which is why I didn't want to do that. And yeah, I can't remember. I think it was his reaction, actually. I think it was a reaction from going through. Like, he was doing a great job on the outside. I'm sure there's more to it than this, but I can't remember what it was. Didn't at one point Neil Sharkey come in and lift Timmy up to make sure he avoided the 10 count as well? I'm
no.
sure that happened at one point as well. No, that didn't happen. You have no idea.
No, I know it didn't happen because I wrote that.
I'm surprised. And you said you didn't have enough time to write things either, so you don't remember. I'm surprised you didn't mention all the streamers. I know you talked about it briefly in another segment, but because I didn't get a response in time, so I didn't bring any streamers. I didn't think they allowed streamers, so I didn't bring any for this one. But I don't think I've ever seen so many streamers at an independent event like this. And they were from all sides of the ring. They were all the colors that went with them, the sanctuary, and it looked really cool. So, and Jackson's already said he wants to get some streamers from Timmy next time so he can do that as well.
Remember when Kylie Rae with streamers?
Yeah, and we weren't at that, but yeah. Her? Yeah, oh, that was crazy. Yeah, Kylie Rae, super popular. Yeah. I commented when we came home, I actually posted a little clip of this. Actually, no, I took a picture of the chairs. I did have a small video, but it didn't work quite as well. And I said, I feel sorry for whoever has to follow this match. This match was absolutely amazing. Like, there was so much action. When you go through, when you got tables breaking, and often for independent events, you used to know, like, the price of a table and things like that. And it's expensive, right?
Yeah.
They went through a lot of chairs. Like, that pyramid they set up was, like, 5, 6, 7 chairs. There was a lot of chairs that were getting bent, broken. There was a table that got broken. There was a lot of stuff going on, which you don't always see on the indies. And then suddenly you're like, okay, who's up next? And we knew it wasn't the main event either. I was like, somebody's got a really tough job to follow this one.
Hey guys, Wes Danger Rogers here, the Safety First Stuntman, and we're listening to the MGB Podcast, the safest and coolest podcast online.
So what you're going to see here in this next clip is me doing some crazy-ish stuff, right? Yeah.
All right, the person that had a really tough job to follow this was Match 6. Wesley, we think he's D. Rogers. I didn't actually look it up.
I think it's D.
Okay.
Makes sense.
And Leo Kirby.
Because of Wes Danger.
Danger Rogers. Oh, I didn't even make... Jeez, I didn't even make that connection at all. I was thinking it was his literal... Well, Wes becoming Wesley, and I was thinking, okay, it is definitely that then. Now, for this one, one of the clips I did see ahead of time was, you could see Chris Keith working out, and you could see Wes on a computer, and he's looking at a picture of Livid. Now, I don't know, because Wes was being cheered in this match as well, and those two non-live events, he turned on Livid the Clown. And actually, at the end of one of them, in fact, several of them beat up Livid. And Livid took off his mask in the end of them, but you couldn't see it from the camera angle. And you knew that he was upset. I called this one in this one. I was like, Livid's definitely appearing in this one. The way they set up the promo, he had a picture of Livid there. And Chris Keith came over. He's like, what's going on? And he kind of closes the computer up, tries to hide the fact there.
When he calls the computer, it makes it even more suspicious.
He's like, well, of course. But he's like, you need to get focused on this. He's like, no, I'm focused. He's like, I'm ready for my match against Livid. And he's like, you're not focused. You're not facing Livid. He's like, no, I know I'm not. He's like, you're facing Leo. He's like, that's what I said. He's like, no, you didn't say that at all. So you knew that was still part of the storyline going forward. And the thing I missed is, though, why did these two face each other? So it was Wesley Rogers versus Leo Kirby, but they're both part of Alpha Inc. I'm not quite sure why they were facing each other. I don't know if it was to try and gain supremacy within Alpha Inc. as, like, the next big person. Not sure. But it was normally what you'd consider heel versus heel, but obviously they're friends with each other. So it was kind of a strange dynamic for this match. Go ahead. Tell us about the match.
They shake hands mid-match, mm-hmm. And that's my first note.
Yep, they had they did talk about sportsmanship as well. Somebody from the crowd done it, and then they mentioned that as well. Yep.
Leo kicks Wesley, and Wesley says, "Do friends kick friends in the face?" And Wesley sits on Leo and chokes him, and then the lights go off, and Livid appears and unmasks, mm-hmm. and then lights go off again, and then Livid disappears, mm-hmm. and then Leo rolls up Wesley for the win.
Mm-hmm. And I love this. I called it mid-match. I was like, but you said at the same time, you were like, well, if they did that, he's done a good job, because we haven't seen Livid at all. Like, he would have ruined if you'd seen him ringside. And you wondered as well, like, did he hide? Oh. That was something that we missed. On the Eddie match, we were on the side where they lifted up the ring apron to get the chairs and the tables, and you were like, there's nobody under, at least we know there's nobody under the ring. So we thought, so I don't know. I said he could have run out from the back, but it seemed quick. So I don't know where Livid came from, but the lights went out for...
definitely came from the back.
It was quick, though. Yeah. Like, it was like 1, 2, 3, 4 lights, and then came back on again.
I mean, it wasn't that far.
In the dark?
I mean, you can map it out in your head.
I guess.
I mean,
but then you got to know where the ring is, and I don't know.
People do it all the time. Like, you turn on the flashlight when you need to go to the bathroom, and then you turn it off and then go.
All right, I thought, but you didn't see his head poking through the curtains ahead of time, so you knew he knew where to go.
But you can look at the top from the top. I don't know.
You think he ran down all those steps and then ran through the crowd and then went to the entrance and jumped up in 3 seconds?
Before that.
I still think it was pretty impressive.
You can practice it before people are let in, too.
You could practice it, but like I said, his head wasn't poking through the curtains at that point, so he couldn't see where he was going ahead of time. When the lights went out, he had to then figure out where. However they did it, it was pretty good. And then when he disappeared at the end, perhaps he did roll under the ring
that
until the
he
end.
Rolled under
that, I don't know for sure, but it was about the same amount of time. However they did it, it looked really cool. It reminded me of things they do on WWE, like when you get The Undertaker
the
suddenly
Fiend.
Appear, or you get The Fiend, or you get Alexa Fiend. It reminded me of
Undertaker.
All those things. And it was really cool. And I wonder, and it was actually probably good that some of the people hadn't seen those live events, because they might not have, the online events, they might not have realized that storyline, and they would have been totally shocked when that happened.
And
when the mask came off, and you didn't get to see him for very long, it was like for a second at the most.
I have
but you knew it was livid, because you could see the mask, mm-hmm. but then he unmasked, but it was only for a just...
What if it was a fake? Like, it wasn't the real livid under the
it
mask.
It might not have been, but it was.
What if
I'm
it
confirming it was. I'm telling you it was the real. That was definitely the real Livid. That would have been cool if that... They could have actually done that as well. They get Livid appear on the side of the ring, and then Wes goes to him, and then when he takes the mask off, it's not. It's the fake Livid, and then when he turns back around again, the real Livid's there, and he takes... That would have been pretty cool as well, actually. Mm-hmm. They could mess with Wes's head now, actually.
Honestly,
they can do that in every single match.
I want to see, like, a promo of, like, multiple Livids.
Every single match they do now, they could just turn the lights out, and when Wes's match,
have
and when it comes back on
Livid
again, even if Livid's not there, he's going to be looking around like, whoa, where's Livid? And then it's not, and then too late. Low blow or something, and then you roll him up again.
I want to see a different Livid every time.
I like, there's lots of different things they could do with this. At some point, we obviously know Wes is going to face Livid or whatever his name he's going by now. I assume if he's losing the mask,
like
he's not going to be Livid anymore.
Wes just rolls right off the tongue, but Wesley is just so much difficult to say. So much more difficult to say.
Yeah, gotta say, got an extra syllable.
No, I mean, like, Wes just rolls off the tongue, but Wesley,
gotcha.
It doesn't.
I got you. It's longer. I understand. That's why we say Jay around you and not Jackson, because we know it's difficult for you.
No. I didn't start the Jay. I didn't start the J.
I love this match. I love that part with the lights going out. That's really cool. That worked perfectly for that storyline. They have a lot of different ways they can go with this one. And I was totally in for this one.
I always say WWW, and that's longer than saying World Wide Web.
It is, yeah. Isn't that ironic?
So
yeah.
I abbreviate it, but it still takes longer.
All right, match 7, let's get to the main event. Sledge Gibson versus Rhett Titus. We did have a sign for this one as well. Let's go Rhett, I think he said.
UEW,
yeah. Let's go. He said UEW at the top as well, and then it was let's go Rhett. So yeah, Jackson was waving a sign for this one. He'd been running around pretty much the last two matches as well. He said he found a spot in the middle at the back where he could look through perfectly and see the ring, so he was stopping occasionally and watching the matches as well. Mm-hmm. I asked him, did you want to take part in this? And he said no. I think
the
he'd
best already... entrance ever, because I finally don't have the second worst streamer throw I've ever seen.
What's so bad about the streamer?
Someone hit Rhett in the lower jaw.
Uh-huh. All right, so first of all, you're going to... All right, well, I'm going to cut to something before this. So, actually, first person that came out was Sledge, which I always thought was strange. You don't normally get the champion coming out first. I'm not quite sure why it was done that way around. Massive cheers for Sledge, even though he was clearly a heel for this one. I was booing Sledge, but I was definitely in the minority for this one. You asked me about Rhett, how long has he been wrestling? Because I said he'd been wrestling for a while, and you were like, oh, what, like 5 years? I was like, oh, way longer than that. And you were like, 10 years? I was like, oh, I think longer than that. And I said, I don't know exactly. So I did have to look it up. Now, it depends where you look, though. If you look on the Ring of Honor website, they haven't responded to my tweet yet, but I posted what it said. It says his debut was 2018. So I know that's not true. If you look on Cage Match, though, actually, if you look on the bio on the Ring of Honor, it says, Rhett Titus has made his presence felt in the Ring of Honor since 2006. But on their website, they have his debut listed as 2018.
Dang, that's 15 years.
Yes, yeah. Hey, I like that. Good math skills there.
Well, it's just two more than my age.
A graduate of the Ring of Honor Dojo, Titus has been teaming with Kenny King as the All Night Express in 2009. The duo won the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles from the world's greatest tag team, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, in 2012. Titus later joined the faction known as Scum, but after the group disbanded in 2013, he left Ring of Honor. He returned in 2015 and reunited with King, Titus, King, and Caprice Coleman, and formed the Cabinet, which morphed into the Rebellion, and they added Shane Taylor. After the Rebellion disbanded, Titus began teaming with Will Ferrara as the Dogs. Titus and Ferrara have rather unorthodox chemistry, but it seems to be working for them. Now, I also looked on Cage Match to find out, see if I could find out what his year of debut was. And I think it's, it looks like it predates 2006, but Ring of Honor was 2006. But yes, he was wrestling. And his age is, he's not as old as I thought he was, but he has been wrestling a long time. I think it said he was like 33, 32, but he's been wrestling like 18 years or something. something like that. So he's obviously started wrestling when he was like 15 or 16, something like that. I'd forgotten that he was, on that match we went to in Baltimore, remember I told you Tracy Williams got injured in that car crash?
Yeah.
Well, car, he got hit by a car. And he was part of the tag team with Rhett, but he said he was going to try and make it back to that event. He obviously didn't make it back. Rhett lost the World Tag Team titles when he was with Jonathan Gresham. They lost to Chris Dickinson and Homicide. So I didn't realize Chris Dickinson and Homicide were currently the Ring of Honor title tag team. Well, unless they've been beaten again since. And that was the event that was Best in the World 2021. Go ahead.
Sledge gets Rhett's arm and Rhett rolls out of it, and a failed codebreaker by Rhett, and Rhett wins by TKO. I was kind of just enjoying it.
This was a 20-minute match. I was going to say, this is a 20-minute match, and I was like, whoa, he's starting at like 15 minutes in, okay. So this was just so good, you just wanted to appreciate what actually happened on this one. Fair enough, yeah, I really liked it. A few things I thought were, I don't want to say dislike, but it was like cheering for the heel at the start, which we already talked about. Was Sledge really even a heel, though, in this match?
No.
Like, I thought, the thing I expected was, I expected Sledge to do like a low blow, or to like rake the eyes, or to get somebody involved on the outside. I thought a member of Alpha Inc. might come in. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm not sure what Sledge character is right now, but if he's a heel, like he's a really good, he's a really polite heel, shall we say. A couple of things I wrote down something on here, which I meant to, there was something that he did that was very un-heel-like as well. He started the clap as well. When you want to get the crowd going. I don't think I've ever seen a heel. That's not normally a heel thing, though. That's normally a face thing, isn't it?
Well, I mean, heels do it, but in a taunting
way. It's normally sarcastic. Like, they're mocking the crowd. But he was doing it apart, and the crowd responded to it. Like, I have no problem with Sledge being, but it was kind of like, I'm not sure right now. Is he heel? Is he face? Is he like a face, but he's working with Alpha Inc.?
He's an inside man.
Could be.
He's an inside man of the secret organization of faces.
He's kind of one of those tweeners right now. I don't think he's either one or the other, but I still think he's leaning towards the heel side. The other one that definitely proved that Rhett was the face for this one, you know when they put the moves on, like the rope break, and you go, you got till five, and it's one, two, three. They always release on like four and a half, right?
Yeah.
Rhett released on one. I love that he did that. That definitely showed that he was the
face.
There's no
point of doing it then if you release at one.
He's the face. He's the good guy. He's being polite.
If you're going to do it for 1 second, then what's the point of doing it in the first place?
Because if you're in a move and they grab hold of the rope, then as soon as they have the rope, you're supposed to release straight away. You can't release before they've got to the rope.
I
really like that side of it. Like you, I really enjoyed this match. I like Sledge's wrestling style. I think he matches up perfectly. When I saw that he was facing Rhett, I was like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. Rhett's obviously had... Mason just threw something into his own eye because he's goofing around right now.
No,
nice
I didn't.
Job.
He's
got
like
a Nerf pellet.
It's not a Nerf pellet.
It looks like it.
It's a pen top.
So you just threw a pen top into your eye. Even nicer. That'll work even better for you.
It didn't hurt.
I liked how they matched up. I thought Sledge went with Rhett really well. For obviously the levels of experience. I didn't think it was a mismatch at all. I thought Sledge did really well in this match. The finish, I don't think you even mentioned the finish, which is kind of surprising.
TKO.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was basically, wasn't he like stamping on his face? Or it looked kind of brutal.
He wasn't able to defend himself.
He wasn't able to defend himself. The ref stepped in. I didn't see that coming as a finish, but I really liked that as a finish. Like, it was kind of
booing.
It wasn't what I was expecting. But yeah, no, Rhett managed to gain the upper hand. He became the title holder. We do know that Rhett is going to appear for, I think it said, 3 of the 4 next shows. So this was one of them. I don't think he's appearing at the next one, but Ace Austin is. And then it'll be the 2 after that. So I'm not quite sure. Perhaps the heavyweight title won't be defended at the next one then. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that's actually going to work.
We need a fighting champion.
He's obviously unavailable. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance to get Rhett on your books for 3 out of 4, you take Rhett for 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I can understand. And you brought in a big name for the... When they announced it was somebody from Impact, I actually thought it was Chris Bay, because Chris Bay is from Virginia. I think I looked it up. I think it said Alexandria, because I wanted to check. And then when they announced it was Ace Austin, you were like, well, that's even better. I was like, oh, I'm not disappointed with Ace Austin at all. I don't even know who
Chris Bay is.
Yeah, you don't watch Impact. You told me, like, the last time you watched Impact, I think it was...
Killer Cross. They're still trying to figure out who is all the behind all the attacks.
Yeah, that was a long, long time ago. No, Chris Bay is very athletic. He kind of reminds me of...
I've seen him once, but I don't remember it.
Okay, that's fair enough. But Ace Austin, we saw last year appear in an organization that doesn't exist anymore in New Jersey. He had some great... I think he had three matches with Jordan Oliver. And, really, really good. I love that you love these entrants as well, like the magic tricks that he does when he comes in. The one thing I can't stand on his is when he gets the playing card and he gets it between the fingers and then like pulls it like, ugh. I don't know why of all the things in wrestling that bugs me so much, but the paper cut between the fingers, yeah, I can't stand that at all. Oh, and then we left at that point as well. We didn't kind of hang around because we wanted to get back onto the interstate and get home. We'd been out for a lot that day. A few quotes here. Sledge, I treat every loss as a learning experience. I went 20 minutes with at Rep Titus ANX before eventually being knocked out. Ring of Honor is ultimately where I want to end up. And Friday night, I learned what it takes to get there. Respect. That's a very face thing to say. No, I know that's on social media, so that's a little different. But yeah, no, I thought he stood up really well to Rhett Titus. Sledge is definitely one of those people that if you saw him on another organization like that, I don't think he would be out of place at all. Like, he has the charisma, he has a great skill set, so that's something exciting to see. What I didn't realize is Rhett Titus used to actually be the MCW champion.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, it was around 2020. I saw it. I was like, oh, that must have been pre-COVID then. I was like, oh, I had no idea at all. So I totally missed that part of it as well. Anything else, Mason, before I kind of go to the wrap-up stuff about what's coming up on what people were saying afterwards and what's coming up on the next event?
Nope.
All right. UEW on Facebook, United Elite Wrestling family, thank you for all your support and joining us last night for the return of professional wrestling to RVA. At UEW Resurrection, now it's time for the next chapter. UEW Retribution will bring us back to the UEW Arena on September 12th. Tickets are on sale now. Chris Keith on Facebook, last night was such an amazing night and what a return to hashtag RVA Wrestling. It was our UEW family. I'm so proud of each and every person in this locker room for what they went out and did last night. It was truly special. Thank you to every one of our fans and supporters. Without you guys, this isn't possible. But when one chapter ends, we write a new one. September 12th, we are back at it again with UEW Retribution. Now, I went to buy tickets last night and didn't realize. I thought it was Saturday. That's normally when they are. This was different because it was Friday. It's Sunday. And it says on Everbright, it says 5 until 8:30. So the earliest, if that's true... That's a long show. That's longer than what this show was. We wouldn't get back till 10, 10:30 at the earliest for a school night. I'm not prepared to do that. So we might not actually be going to this one. Unless we find out, no, that's not right. It's like 5 until 8 or something. Doors open at 4, so start time is definitely 5. That part is right. But whether they have a 3.5-hour show, I don't know. Let me read out what it says on here. Come see UEW stars Sledge Gibson, Wesley D. Rogers, Timmy Danger, Eddie Diamond, Jay Sin, and Double K. Also making his UEW debut, Impact Zone Ace Austin. And we also welcome back the UEW Women's Champ, Jordan Blade. And yes, Erica Lee is on the poster for that as well. So I assume that's who she's going to face for that one. Now, I just realized as I was reading Chris Keith on here, I actually forgot. Jay did actually get a picture with Chris because he had both the belts when he was walking around. He had the crab belt, which I don't think I've seen up close, the crab tag team belt, and also the UEW tag team belt. So that was kind of cool to see those. I forgot to mention this earlier as well. Why is Crab giving up their tag team belt? Like, are UEW working with Crab now? Like, we know a few of their wrestlers certainly do.
I don't know.
But I'm kind of curious. Does that mean Crab... Crab Wrestling's been actually appearing in Florida, I think, for the last two events. I'm sure that's just because of COVID and the events are actually happening there. And Maryland literally has only just come back in the last few weeks. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Crab Wrestling is finished, if it's looking to just merge. Yeah, I try to find out on social media, but I couldn't find anything out about that. But that's something I'm certainly curious about as well. So, yeah, not sure if we're actually going to be at the next event. I think we're just going to have to play that one by ear, see how busy things are as well. But yeah, I'm not going to commit to tickets early for this one. If you do want tickets, they're $15 now, or if you get them on the door, they're $20. So if you are going, certainly go ahead and get them ahead of time. All right, Mason, I think that's it, unless you got anything to add.
No.
This is interesting, because I said to you at the start, I said, I don't really have any notes for this, but I said, I have a feeling this is going to be a long one. We're nearly at an hour.
Mm-hmm. This is MGB. We're out. Peace.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/